There aren't many walks, I'm afraid, but we'll go to the top of the hill.
It's good to be out of that house.
The Mother Superior asked me to bear a message.
I shouldn't have thought she was aware of my existence.
She says though you may not wish to adventure into the centre of the epidemic, it will give her great pleasure to show you the convent. It's not nearly as risky as you might think. I go there 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, if you're not frightened, there's no reason why I should be.
They live in the middle of the city in the poorest district. There are 6 of them there now. What's the matter?
Look. He looks as if he were dead.
He is dead. Come along. You'd better look the other way. I'll have him moved when we come back.
I've never seen anyone dead before.
You'll see a good many more before you're done with this cheerful spot. Come.
Did he die of cholera?
I suppose so.
How can you talk and laugh and drink whiskey when people are dying all around you?
You know this is no place for a woman. Why don't you go?
I should have thought my place is at my husband's side.
When they telegraphed me that you were coming with Fane, I was astonished. Well, I came to the conclusion that you and your husband were madly in love with each other. I knew that you hadn't been married very long. I couldn't believe that he'd wish you to come, but thought perhaps you'd absolutely refuse to stay behind.
It's a reasonable explanation.
But it isn't the right one. I don't think for a moment that you're in love with your husband. I think you dislike him. I shouldn't be surprised if you hated him, but I'm quite sure you're afraid of him.
I have a suspicion that you don't very much like my husband.
I respect him. If any man single-handed can put a stop to this frightful epidemic, he's going to do it. He's doctoring the sick, cleaning the city up, trying to get the drinking water pure, risking his life 20 times a day. He's got Colonel Yu in his pocket. And the nuns at the convent swear by him. They think he is a hero.
Don't you?
Your husband isn't here because he cares a damn if 100,000 Chinese die of cholera. He isn't here either in the interests of science. So why is he here?
You better ask him.
Well, you're a very pretty woman. It's funny that your husband should never look at you.
Do you think he doesn't love me?
I don't know. I've asked myself if you're both here to commit suicide.
Should we go home? I'm sure you want a whiskey and soda.
Are you sure you don't want to go away? I'll help you. Must you stay?
Yes. It's dreadful, isn't it?
What?
Death. That man hardly looked human. It's hard to think that not so very many years ago he was just a little boy, tearing down a hill and flying a kite.
We shouldn't be too long now. The bearers will carry us right to the convent door.
The stench! It's horrible!
The sanitation here isn't what you're used to in Hong Kong.
Missy. Some money, please.
Let go of me.
Please.
No, please, leave me alone.
Help me, please, Missy. Missy.
Oh, mercy.
Wouldn't have done you any harm, you know. Here we are. Thank you. That's for your trouble. Ring the bell, Mrs. Fane. Don't be shy. You mustn't expect anything very grand, you know. They're miserably poor.
Monsieur Waddington, bonjour.
Bonjour.
C'est la dame du docteur?
Yes, oui, bonjour.
Come in.
Tu es très belle comme toujours, Sir Saint-Joseph.
Mrs. Fane, this is our Mother Superior.
It is a great pleasure to me to make the acquaintance of the wife of our good and brave doctor.
Thank you. It's very kind of you to invite me.
A pleasure to see you, Mr. Waddington. Mm-hmm. We see you sober, I hope.
Oh, come, ma mère, you speak as though I were a confirmed drunkard.
I wish you could say you never drink, Mr. Waddington.
I never drink, except to excess.
We must make allowances for Mr. Waddington, Mrs. Fane. because two or three times, when we had no money at all and did not know how we were to feed the orphans, Mr. Waddington came to our rescue. If you'd like to see the convent, I'd be glad to show you.
Thank you. Merci.
I am sorry you should see it just now when everything is in disorder. We have much work and not enough sisters to do it. This is where the older girls work at their embroidery. We go on with it in spite of the epidemic because it takes their minds off the danger. Here we have the little mites, as you English say.
Don't shy away, my dear. They don't bite.
Bonjour, mes petites. They are beautiful, are they not?
Yes. Is it normal that they are so small?
I should say so. They're children.
You know, of course, that they are only orphans in the sense that their parents have wished to be rid of them. We give them a few cash for every child that is brought in. Otherwise, they will not take the trouble, but do away with them. Have any come today, Sir Saint-Joseph?
Quatre, ma mère.
Now, with the cholera, they are more than ever anxious not to be burdened with useless girls. Come along. I will not show you the infirmary. It is not a sight that one would wish to see. Your husband is here, Mrs. Fane, but his duties are many. We shouldn't disturb him.
Ma mère, un autre soldat est décédé.
What was that?
Another of the soldiers has died. We lose one almost every hour.
How terrible.
Your husband fought bravely for him. Would you like to see the babies that came in this morning before you go?
Very much so.
They seem very lively. Sometimes they are brought in only to die. Of course, we baptize them the moment they come.
Your husband will be pleased with them. I think he could play by the hour with the babies. When they cry, he has only to take them up and they laugh with delight.
You do not know how kind and helpful your husband has been to us. He has been sent to us by heaven. I am glad that you came here with him. When he goes home, it must be a great comfort to him to have you there with your love. You must not let him work too hard. You must take care of him for all our sakes.
The temple above the river just beginning to show. Its green roofs dull now in the early evening light. Just a building. Just wood and stone. Nothing airy or magical. Nothing like it appeared in that first dawn. What a fool I've been. It's plain what Charlie is. I love a worthless creature and I'm as worthless as he. If I could tear him from my heart, if I could tear my heart from my body. And Walter, brave, clever, tender.
Don't you want a lamp?
They'll bring it when dinner's ready. Walter, what do you suppose we should do if we get through the epidemic?
I haven't thought.
May I ask you a question?
Of course.
Did you really want me to die when you brought me here?
If I were you, I'd leave well alone, Kitty. Much better to forget.
But you don't forget. Neither do I. I've been thinking a great deal since I came here. I don't ask you to forgive me or to love me as you used to. But couldn't we be friends? With all these people dying in thousands round us and with those nuns in their convent...
What have they got to do with it?
Well, I can't quite explain. I had such a singular feeling when I went there today. It's all so terrible and their sacrifice is so wonderful. I can't help feeling... It's absurd to distress yourself over a foolish, insignificant woman like me. Mr. Waddington and the nuns have told me such wonderful things about you. I'm very proud of you, Walter.
You used not to be. You used to feel contempt for me. Don't you still?
I only want you to be a little less unhappy.
You're mistaken in thinking I'm unhappy. I have a great deal too much to do to think of you very often.
I've wondered if the nuns would allow me to go and work at the convent. If I could be of any help to them, I should be grateful.
I doubt that that sort of thing would amuse you for long.
Do you absolutely despise me, Walter?
No. I despise myself.
Why?
Because I loved you.
I lie awake all night and returning to me over and over the image of the beggar, his skin hard and rough like the hide of a goat, his bare emaciated legs, his head, the cheeks hollow, the eyes wild, the head of a madman. And just as sharply, I see the babies of the convent wriggling and writhing, red and restless, their quaint little faces screwed in grimaces, their lives, blades of grass blowing in the wind.
I must ask you to excuse me for keeping you waiting. I was occupied.
If something happened, would you like me to go away?
No. Tell me what I can do for you. It is only that one of our sisters died last night.
Oh.
It is very wicked of me to grieve, for I know her soul will have flown straight to heaven. She was a saint. I have been writing to her father. She, like me, was her mother's only daughter.
I'm so dreadfully sorry.
She was one of the sisters who came from France with me 10 years ago. There are only 5 of us left now. Oh, there is so much to do, and now fewer than ever to do it.
That encourages me, Mamère. I wonder, would you allow me to help here? I don't mind what I do. I should be thankful if you would just let me scrub the floors.
My dear, do you not think you have done enough in coming here with your husband? That is more than many wives would have the courage to do.
I have nothing whatever to do from morning till night. There is so much to be done that I cannot bear to think that I am idle.
You don't look very strong.
I promise you I'm not afraid of hard work, and I'm not at all afraid of the cholera. I not be of help to the sisters in nursing?
You do not know what the cholera is. I am sure your husband would not wish it. It is a terrible and a frightening sight.
Well, I should grow used to it.
No, it is out of the question.
You make me feel very useless and very helpless.
Have you spoken to your husband of your wish?
Yes.
Of course, you are Protestant.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I think I can find something for you to do. It is true that it is impossible now for us to cope with the work. When will you be ready to start?
Now.
À la bonne heure.
I promise to do my best. I'm very grateful to you.
I must tell you, my dear child, that one cannot find peace in work or in pleasure, in the world or in a convent, but only in one's soul. You mustn't come here wishing to be set free.